What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 107 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. We are back for another week of hilarious commentary of reality.
Mm-hmm. Or what
some might think is reality. I don't think it's reality. I think we are living in the upside down because of how people are acting. Interesting enough, it didn't have anything to do with lawn chairs or folding chairs of any kind this week. So that's dope. That's dope. No one was thrashed.
Lift every chair and swing. I'm sorry, you know, but when our favorite missus or our favorite mom and principal and teacher sings that song on Instagram.
Yes, it's quite awesome. So yeah, the stocks are still rising for chairs. If you want to get down on that, you should probably do so now before there's another event. And we use some type of other weapon to bludgeon somebody with. But yeah, interesting weeks. And this week especially, and I'm just going to jump into our first topic because it has been one of the weirdest times for me in terms of my writing career. I've gotten like hate before, like people just being angry that I had an opinion on something. But I don't think I've gotten like people as mad as they've been lately in a fashion that has been this comical, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, because usually it's something I said. It's something like, hey, you gave this video game a blah, blah, blah out of blah, 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 and we're upset about it. We think this game is better than it should be, or than you said, or we think it's worse than what you said, or whatever the case may be, right? But in this case, it's something I didn't say. People are upset about something I didn't say. And they're also upset about how we do our scores. And there's a lot of misconceptions about how people review things. If you've been living under a rock or you just don't know me, which is plausible, definitely plausible, I reviewed the live action series of The One Piece, the adaptation for IGN. And, you know, I knew writing the review, I was going to get some hate. I knew it because it's a big fandom. People love One Piece. I love One Piece. And I expected some blowback considering that I wasn't giving it like a high score. I gave it a 6 out of 10, which is okay. It actually says the word okay. And it's a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not even rotten. But I kind of knew that was coming. What I didn't understand or didn't like, you know, prep for was people misunderstanding what I said. To the degree that they did, like, it was bananas. And so I tried to explain myself and it just led to a whole bunch of, actually, no, it wasn't my fault. Not my fault at all.
No.
It was already chaotic. I tried to maneuver through the chaos. It didn't work. So I just let it go. But people are still upset. People are upset to this day. Like to right now, people are still upset. I blocked so many people. It's bananas. So I wanted to talk about some misconceptions and whatnot. And before I do that though, Tess, what were your thoughts like outside looking in? Because I know you saw some of the drama going on, especially on Twitter.
First of all, it was just like, you know, I'm not on Twitter that often. And when I do, I'm doom scrolling. So I'll be there one day and then I won't be there for a week. You know, I'm dopamine scrolling really because I'm ADD and I can't handle things. So I end up seeing like, I'm just seeing tidbits. Like I'm seeing your responses. I didn't even see your original post. Like, hey, my review is live. Like I was seeing it from, it was almost like, you know, catching into Buttergate. Like I'm on day two, day three of this happening. And then I'm like, oh God, what is happening here? And then,
right.
I don't know. I was like in a different mental space. And I said, you know what? First of all, I know Kenny's got this. That's number one. But number two, I don't have the energy to fight these people online. I don't. And I'm sitting here. I already know what it is. I didn't even have to go for it. I already know what it is. I didn't watch One Piece yet. And One Piece is one of those shows where I was sad that I missed out on it because I have the very first book of One Piece. I got it when it was released. I have the American copy of that because I was so excited to read this when it first came out. And then I was poor. And so I didn't get to go on. I didn't get to continue. And now I'm just not going to, because it's 1,000 episodes and I'm not doing all that. And, and then, you know, the live action comes on and I said, you know what, another day, I don't have the energy right now to get on this. And then I see what's happening online with you. And I'm like, dude, he wrote an opinion piece and you're attacking the man online. And then I'm seeing you defend your position, which is not the, you're explaining the rating. You're explaining right. how you came. And I thought that it was the most reasonable explanation. It is something that we have talked about multiple times on our show. We've right. talked about adaptations in the past. We have talked about specific adaptations in the past. And yep. you pointed out very clearly and cleanly the reason for the rating because of X, Y, and Z. Almost right. all adaptations suffer from this type of stuff. And I'm sorry, but these people who are coming at you and then you explain yourself to them and then they say, well, you got to give it the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, it's only 10 episodes or it's only this. And, you know, we just got no. How about no? How about we say, hey, try again next time and do better? Because Peter Jackson only had 9 hours to adapt The Lord of the Rings. And in all honesty, he was not faithful to everything that happened. Nope. But he gave us something that was really good in The Lord of the right. Rings, where somebody who had not seen, who had not read the books or didn't know anything about the source material would be entertained. It was a self-contained story. Everything was there. And we were like, yay. And it has all of the elements that you have addressed in your review. You're sitting there right. explaining to people that, hey, when you have X, Y, and Z moments that are not fit into the show, but then the show still uses the big payoff, right. it doesn't pay off. That is right. like a small bank robber robbing like multiple banks, but then we don't know that they rob multiple banks. And then all of a sudden they come home with a really big bag of money. And it's like, oh my God, you robbed a bank, right? And you I saw on the news, you just hit up First Virginia, but they said they didn't have any money. Yeah, they only had $300. So then why do you have $1 million?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're missing context. That person will be like, did you hit other banks? Like, why do you have this big bag? And because people were saying like, oh, he doesn't like One Piece because it doesn't follow the source material. I'm like, I never said that.
I never said that.
Mm-hmm. Because honestly, we have to be real. I typically don't want them to be exactly like the anime, yeah. because then what's the point? The anime is going to be better. I could just go watch that. It needs to change in order to work for the new medium. Yeah. But if you want to stick to the story, I'm cool with that as well. As long as the end result is dope, I am cool with that, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they had to trim it down because it's a lot. It's 44 episodes of an anime trimmed to 8 episodes. So, and like 90-something chapters of a manga trimmed to 8 episodes, right? So not only did they strip out certain characters, like characters are just gone. Like, they're not even there. They took out certain aspects of each of the main casts and how they act, how they respond to different things. But they still wanted those big moments that was from the anime, mm-hmm. and it just falls flat. And the thing, the one that I've been using, because I think it's the easiest freaking one, is Zoro. Zoro is at the beginning of, if you watch the anime or read the manga, he makes a declaration to his friend. He's like, hey, we're going to be the best swordsman on the planet. And then that person dies and he's like, well, I'm going to be the best for her. Like, I'm just going to be the best. All right. He gets with Luffy. The only reason he's with Luffy is because he's like, you know what? You have a goal. I have a goal. We seem to be going in the same direction. So I'm going to follow you. But at a certain point, he starts to recognize Luffy's character. He starts to understand him a little bit more. And eventually he loses a fight. He's injured gravely and Luffy is concerned. And he's like, you know what? I get it. I'm never going to make you concerned again. Like, he makes a declaration that he is with Luffy to the end. If you understand that, he only made two declarations his entire life. One was to his friend that died, and then one was to Luffy. That's a huge moment for this character. He mm-hmm. made a pivot. Get to the live action. He's with Luffy, but he's kind of like we have to flee from this area, so we have to be together. And then they just happen to be together up until a certain point. He loses, just like in the anime, and he says he makes that declaration. It doesn't work. They don't have that type of relationship yet. And me knowing the source material, I'm like, this looks bad. But people who haven't, because I can't review it just as a fan. I have to review it as someone who's watching TV, right? The people who watched it, who never read the manga, who never saw the anime, also felt that it felt off. Because that moment doesn't work if you don't have the context between these two characters. They aren't that close yet. You feel me? And so that keeps happening. It keeps happening all over the series. And I'm like, this is actually poor.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where the stuff that isn't source material, the stuff that's kind of like trimmed and altered, actually works better because at least it's not awkward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it actually works better. So I'm trying to explain. And it's like, cool. If you don't agree, if you think it's perfect, fine. But at least be upset about something I actually said. I never said that it should not be like the source material. Also, let's talk about this idea of comparing two different things for a review. People keep bringing up Cowboy Bebop live action and how IGN gave that a 7. Understand that we are, like, the person who wrote that, shout out to them. I'm not them. I wouldn't have given Cowboy Bebop a 7. We've spoken about Cowboy Bebop on this podcast. Yep. We didn't like it. There were elements of it that we thought were cool, certain moments that like really worked, but overall we were like, no, not a good show, don't watch it, blah 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 blah. That's what we said. It's in stone or video or whatever at this point. I didn't review it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a misconception with this idea that like is under IGN, and I think it's because of the age difference. I remember growing up reading video game magazines like Game Pro, Tips and Tricks, wherever the case may be, and remembering that, oh, the guy who wrote this review is the car guy. He talks about all the racing games. Oh, this guy, he's a big GTA fan. He talks about all GTA games or whatever, like live action, not live action, but action RPGs or whatever. These guys like these particular games, so they talk about them in this book. Or this guy's really sarcastic. This one's really funny, whatever. But I knew that they were individual people. I also have read newspapers in my life, and I know that articles are written by individual people. Even though the Times might release it, you know, it's not everybody's not writing everything, right? Or like they're not like a hive mind or whatever. And another example for maybe for the people who still don't understand, think of Peter Parker and Brock, you know, eventually turns into Venom. They work at the Daily Bugle. They're not the same people. They don't even have the same type of job. So like for you to be like, oh, the Daily Bugle printed this, so all of you people are responsible for this thing is bananas. They're two different people, right? But even if you don't understand that, forget it. Even though you guys did seek me out and not like IGN itself, like you sought me out as a person. You understand that it is impossible to review anything if we have to compare everything to everything at all time. What is that movie? Everything everywhere all the time, whatever the case, like at all at once. We can't do that.
Like, this is not the fifth dimension.
You would never get another review. And I don't mean just IGN. I mean every outlet on the planet. It is not possible. I remember one person, I gave a high score to one film, and he was like, well, The Shawshank Redemption got a high score, and so you're saying that this movie's just like that movie. And I'm like, fam, I wasn't even writing here when that review came out.
First of all, we were children.
Right. I didn't even know IGN had a review of that. Or whatever the film, it might not have been Shawshank. It was another one, like Schindler's List or whatever. It was something classic. And I'm like, fam, I wasn't around to write these things.
Find out it was The Piano.
Like, so you're saying that every movie, every time we write a review, we have to look at every other movie that came before that and compare it somehow. And then we come up with a score. One person said, IGN chose my review strategically to get clicks. And I'm like, do you think there's a smorgasbord of reviews that everyone in the office reviews the same thing, and then we just pick the best? Oh, that one's going to really piss people off. Let's pick that one. That's not how that works.
That's literally not how it works.
That's such a waste of time and goofy, because if we really wanted clicks, all we had to do was say it's a 10 out of 10. People would be sharing it till the next season came out. You feel me? So like, but no, they're like, they chose it. And I'm like, no, I pitched a review like a year ago when it was announced. And I finally got access to it. I saw the thing. I watched it twice. I wrote my review and then I gave it to them. No one can tell me what to write in my review. None of my editors. And I'm not saying this like I'm afraid. I will name them. None of y'all can tell me what to write because it's my opinion. You can say, you know what? Based on what you've written, it sounds like you're leaning towards a this or a that. Mm-hmm. And then we have to edit it so that it fits with the scoring that I'm giving it. But none of them can actually change my score or change my mind. I am an individual.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that's so difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Probably lastly, the idea of there's this weird consensus that there has to be some type of stability in the scoring. Like, you know, if one thing gets a 6, then this other thing has to get a 6 because it's equal quality in your eyes for whatever reason, right? What's consistent about IGN scoring and every scoring on every website known to man is the scoring structure.
Mm-hmm.
An easy way to understand this is if you go to any grade school in the country and you look at how they score A, B, C, D, C, you know, F, whatever, right? And what's consistent is those scores. So if someone was to come in and say, hey, a B is a failing grade, one of the teachers there can say, no, our scale says B is a passing grade. Mm-hmm. F is a failing grade, not mm-hmm. B. You as an individual can't come in and change what a B means.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with IGN. I gave it a 6 out of 10. That means okay. You're never going to see another word under the 6 out of 10 because it means okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to say great. It's never going to say poor. It's going to stay within that parameter, right?
Yeah.
Also with schooling, you think about like if someone gets an A in a class, they scored highly, you know, well on all the tests. Mm-hmm. They turned in all their homework on time. But then you have another classmate who isn't all that great. They sometimes do well, not so much, but they did extra credit. And so the extra credit brought them up to an A. Guess what? The A still equals the same thing, but these two people got to a different, they got there in a different way.
Yeah.
Same thing with review. You might score something a 6 out of 10 for whatever reasons you have. I'll score something 6 out of 10 for whatever reasons. These two 6 out of 10s don't equal each other. We got there in two different ways. We're reviewing two different things and we're two different people. That's why you have to read it. However, the 6 out of 10 is the consistent part. It means that this is okay and this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. That is the only consistency you can have because we're humans.
And it's an opinion.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
It's an opinion
exactly.
At the end of the day. These people are funny.
Right?
It's like the craziest thing.
To be that upset. To be that upset. To the point of threatening people. You're not even watching the show at this point.
Yeah, like, they're so busy. They're not watching the show. They're so busy arguing with you. I'm like, if you have this much time, people, I mean, God, the only people they need to be mad at Amazon. They need to they shouldn't be fighting you. They're taking their Game of Thrones anger out on you. And they need to be taking it out on somebody. I'm still just messed up at the duality of it because they're yelling and they're saying IGN is a hack and IGN this, that, and the other, but then they're specifically attacking you. And it's like, is it IGN or is it you? You know, like which one effing is it? And I'm saying that because they're sitting here, oh, you know, IGN gave this a 7 and said it was better. And IGN now is giving this a 6 and you wrote it and did it. And I'm like,
yeah, are we an entity? A collective entity? Are we individual people? Because you're not messaging IGN. You're messaging me.
Yeah.
You found me.
Yeah. Like, they're coming to you.
Or the fact that, you know, some people are like, you know, we're afraid that people aren't going to watch the show because you gave it a 6, which is positive, folks. But at the same time saying we're hacks and no one reads us. So if no one reads us, then why do you care what we write?
Right.
You can't have it both ways.
Nope.
It just doesn't
work
one
that
person,
way.
Because I saw a lot of messages. One person was like, I watched one episode and I know you're wrong. I'm like, wow, you watched one
Try
hour of content.
All eight.
There's over eight hours of content here. You watched one and you're disputing me.
Oh, God.
How does this make sense in your brain? Like, I don't get it.
Right.
It's whatever. You know, and you know what's really wild is the fact that Reddit had a better take. Like Reddit, there was people on Reddit who read the review and was like, oh, this is actually very reasonable. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is coming from Reddit? Holy smokes. Like,
that's why I love Reddit. That's legit.
Like,
why
Reddit's,
I love Reddit.
Reddit's
dope.
The sane one, like in this equation. Like,
I fucking
get
love Reddit.
Out. That's bananas.
That is bananas. But... because Reddit is the place where you're allowed to just be freely crazy because nobody can find out who you are. I mean, there are some people who totally can find out who you are, but
right,
like,
right.
But those people are pretty scary awesome on TikTok. I'm like, yo, I need you to, I need you. but yeah, you can say whatever you want on there. Nobody's going to know who you are. And then all of a sudden, everybody who nobody knows who they are the most sane people. You know,
yeah.
In regards to, I mean, because these TikTok, not TikTokers, these tweeters, these Xers. I mean, like, in all honesty, the Twitter platform is, there's not as many people. There's like 500,000 less people on it. I don't know. I'm making that number up, people. I'm making that up. But I feel like the only people left are those trolled verified accounts. Like, I don't even trust anybody with a blue check anymore.
It's rough out here. It's really rough. And I feel a way, I feel for the people who need that check. To cut through the noise, because a lot of stuff, even when posting, even if you have a large following, a lot of it gets missed. Like I missed a ton of mentions because Twitter is so jacked up right now. But it's just I don't understand, because they literally, like, even at Reddit, they took a paragraph out and they were like, look what he's saying here. And that paragraph seems to be the one that everyone's missing. They just skip over, but he reads it and he's like, oh, this is normal. If you have an adaptation of something, and yes, you have to make consensus, you have to cut stuff. The tricky part is knowing what to cut and what not to cut, and how do you formulate this story so that it works with the part that's cut out. If you cut out the wrong thing and then you try to shoehorn in this big scene, it's not gonna work. And we've seen that a ton. You know what, like, I mean? And it's just, it's basic criticism. I don't understand. It's really fandom.
It is fandom. At the end of the day, it is fandom. These fandoms are scary places. They're literally scary people in scary places. I don't know how, like, I mean, people were otaku when we were young, you know, we're like, hey, these people are like really out of it. But like, I guess because social media has become the way of the world, people are very entitled and emboldened, and their opinion has they truly, truly believe their opinion matters more than, you know, the person who's getting paid to actually post the review. And and because they live in their like white padded room sounding boards, like their opinion is always parroted back to them by the people they keep themselves around. So they're not able to really hear anything and see things through other lenses. And that's kind of, that's scary and sad, because you can't have real discourse and conversation about anything. And I mean, like, there are things that we can agree, we should be able to agree on in this world, our truth in black and white. But I don't know, after Trump, like, it's really hard to believe. It's really hard to, to talk, because nobody seems to believe that there's real truths. And anyway, but but I think it's just, some people just can't, they don't have the ability to have, you know, multiple thought, or to be able to see things from another lens and just be like, oh, you know what, let me take this into account, I didn't think about that. Or, you know what, let me take this into account, let me think about it, and then still disagree. Because you're allowed to disagree, you're allowed to have your own opinion,
right?
And that is why, you know, that's, people write, okay, things are opinions, things are op-eds, things are whatever, and that's fine. Because again, we did not like Cowboy Bebop, but the person who wrote it that time did. And we still, you and I have agreed. It was not just you and I, we've had guests. We have talked to other people. And again, this is not just us trying to find people who think like us. This is literally finding people. And they're like, oh, you know, I've never seen Cowboy Bebop, and I watched it, I thought it was somewhat entertaining. And it's like, okay, because if that's the case, then it was for you. If you were able to find enjoyment and you've never seen the show, the, you know, the actual show, then we have to agree that the show was made for you, except when the creators tell us that it wasn't. Right. If the creators tell us that it was made for the fans, and then we find out, I mean, then we find out the only people who like it, or who barely liked it, were not fans originally, then they messed up. And I think that goes the same for what Amazon did with Rings of Power, because I mean, those creators continue to shoot themselves in the foot every time they talk, because they keep they keep saying the wrong things. They said, oh, we did this for everybody. And then they say they did it for the fans. And it's like, do you guys know who liked your stuff? Because it was awful. But there are things that we can fundamentally agree on and say, hey, this is why X, Y, and Z is awful, versus having an opinion on, hey, you know, I really wish that they had talked about the sensitive side of this one character versus and this is why. And it's because, you know, one person may look at a character like a fan favorite. Ooh, let me bring in my man. Let me bring in my man. Uh-huh. I'm bringing my man. Say Shomaru. There are people who can look at him and be like, oh, he's a badass. He has no emotions. He doesn't show how he feels. And then he just comes in swinging a sword and killing people and da, 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 whatever. And then they like that. And then there's people like me who I'm like, no, this dude has mad backstory that is being ignored. And that's the interesting part about him. And I can sit here on my side and I can say that a new adaptation is bad because they're not exploring the things that truly drive this character. And another person can be like, no, this was perfect. He was always like that. He never talked much. He was never a person of words. He always just, you know, came in swinging and killing and da da da. No, this was perfect. And we are disagreeing because we see different sides of a character that we wish the adaptation had gone through. That is fine. That is something that should be like, yeah, you know what? You have an opinion and you have an opinion and we're both valid. We both have rights to our opinions and nobody should be wrong in that situation because it speaks to different parts of who we are.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And I think that people also should know that there's certain aspects of it that I have to turn off for myself when I'm writing a review because I'm not writing it. I am a fan. That's why I pitched it.
Yeah. But
I also have to write it in a sense of, is this good television? Like, take away, because people are looking at it as like, I'm a fan of One Piece. And so they did, Luffy was great and Zoro was great and all this other stuff. But like, if this was not called One Piece, if this was called something else, if this was Two Piece or whatever,
I'm gone. Bye, everybody. It was so good to Ember. Wash your hands, wash your faces. I'm done. I almost choked on my water. Two-piece
and a biscuit. If this is something else, right?
And a damn biscuit.
Yes, two-piece and a biscuit. If this was something else, would you like it? Would you like it? And I've seen that the criticisms change once the name change, once these characters are not who they are. And I think that's telling because, you know, there is no, when we talk about opinions, there's nothing that's unbiased. We all have a bias. That's just what it is, if it's your opinion, because these are not factual things.
No.
And I think that when we look at these things, we're like, okay, I like this, I like that, and that's perfectly fine. But even as I'm writing it, I'm like looking at this show, and I'm like, I want to like it.
Yeah.
And mainly I want to like it is because it's called One Piece. If it wasn't called One Piece, it would be much easier to write this 6 out of 10 because it is not, to me, it's okay television. It's very much okay. If it wasn't called, and that people who are super fans of these shows, films, whatever the case may be, look at it as if it was something else. I promise you, you'll stop and go, you know what? That scene was kind of whack. The only reason I'm liking it is because I'm filling in the blanks that aren't there that I pulled from the anime.
Yeah.
That's really it. Because if it was any other show, because some of the complaints that I've seen about other shows, you can dump them on One Piece. You can. But because it's that their favorite whatever, it's like, nah, we give it a pass. It's whatever. And that's cool. But you can't sit here and be upset at someone else who won't give it a pass.
Thank you.
I am supposed to be critical. I am critical.
That's your job.
Especially when I get paid for it.
Yes.
And there's a huge difference between, and I think people don't get this as well, is when someone's being paid to be critical and someone is liking or disliking a thing. If you would have asked me, I didn't get paid for this, and you said, how's the One Piece show? I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's pretty cool. I like this, I like that, and whatever. Now you're like, okay, I want you to be critical. I'm like, ooh, all right, these things don't work. Like, I have to be honest about it. Me just recommending something to a friend, I don't have to be all the way honest, because they're not asking for that.
Yeah, as a critic, know, hey, how do you like this?
Exactly. As a critic, I have to look at the things that work and things that don't work. For instance, the Super Mario Brothers show or film that came out earlier this year, I think it's freaking fantastic. Great, great. Kids watched it. We had a great time. My son loves it. However, if you ask me to write a review, oh, well, the pacing is horrible. Mm. There's not much of a story. You barely see Luigi. Like, I can go in and in and in, because I'm able to do that. I'm able to critique something even if I like it. And I think that there's a weird barrier with fans where it's like, if I like it, I gotta love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's weird, which is even more weird because you'll be upset when something isn't the way, like the amount of vitriol coming from people who are upset that Cowboy Bebop isn't what they thought it was going to be. It's like you're critiquing something that you like, but if it's something that you think is good, no one else can critique it. You're weird. You're really weird.
Like, for example, a good example of that is me. I think you and I talked about this as one of the ones we don't agree on. Like, I think you said you did not, the first Kenshin movie, the first Kenshin live action, you're like, nah, let's try, right? You didn't like that one, right?
Yeah. I didn't like it. Yeah. Nope.
And then I liked it. And I did. And I think there may have been a reason for that. I think it's because I had to let go. That came out in a time where there were no good adaptations. I mean, everything that we have ever loved has been trash on screen.
Yes.
X-Men, I'm sorry, y'all. Too many of these movies, too many of the things that we loved as kids, and we are adults now, we can enjoy them in a better way, like more story, more blood, the things that are supposed to be there. And they just keep failing us. And I think there was a point in time where I just had to let go. I think I needed to enjoy something. And so I watched the movie with I had criticisms. I did. I had valid criticisms especially on costuming and makeup.
Yeah.
I was really, really upset with a lot of things. And that continues on into other, but I ended up just being like, you know what? Overall, I was like, I did not leave that movie pissed off. And I usually leave these movies pissed off. And I think I watched it at home. I think I had it on, it was either Netflix or something. I forgot, you know, back when we did Netflix DVDs and things that don't really exist anymore. and I enjoyed it. And I was like, I think one of the things that pushed it over the edge for me was the fight with the Sanosuke fight. Which is also a part where people are like, they ate in the middle of the fight. That's so unrealistic. And so, and I was like, and for me, I actually said, but is it though?
Right.
And one of those things was out, 'cause I was like, we weren't alive. We weren't around then. And a lot of the things that we saw in the anime were extremely unrealistic. A lot of the things that we saw with these fights was next to impossible. And that was like the realest fight I had seen. Like the way they were fighting, I think people wanted to see all of the, you know, run up to each other and then don't know where the sword goes. And then two people are standing across from each other. And then, you know, they wanted to see the Kill Bill stuff. And I'm sitting here like, I don't think the majority of these fights ended up like that. And I think that is why the choreographer choreographed this fight like this, to be a little bit more realistic. Like there's probably a lot more punching. There's probably a lot more like people lose their grip. And then there's, hey, if you're tired in a fight, if you are tired and you're in a kitchen full of food, you better start throwing that shit. You gotta win by any means necessary. The person coming at you has an 8-foot slashy pole in their hand. Like you gotta think quick.
Yeah.
And so that that was one, to me, from what I remember, that was what sealed the deal for me actually enjoying the whole movie, because it made me sit there and say, you know what? There were a lot of decisions made here and all of them were made for this to be an enjoyable film. And then I enjoyed it. And then they made a whole bunch of other movies and they need to stop.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing about films, because like I remember someone asked me, shout out to them, because it wasn't a bad question, but they asked me, is there an objectively good film? And I said no.
Yes.
I said no. The reason being is that if we set this magical bar of what a good film is for everyone at every time, we will never break any rules. We look at Alfred Hitchcock, the films that he made, where he broke a lot of film rules. And some of it were deemed like, oh, this isn't good. Years later, it's like, no, these are classics. He's done some things that are people try to emulate to this day, to great effect. And so if you stand there and you say, okay, this particular film is the best and you have to meet this or it's not a good film, it's like, well, what is the goal of the film? What are they trying to do? Did they reach the goal? Was the goal worth having? We have comedies. Comedies aren't seen at the height of like dramas. You know, horror film is notoriously put at the bottom of the rung, but like, it's subjective. It's all very, very subjective. There isn't a, you just have to have these things. There's things that we can kind of debate about in terms of who acted better in what scene, mm-hmm. but even then, what's good acting? Because people get awards for stuff that we're like, eh, and then people get snubbed and we're like, yo, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's very subjective. Yeah. And so if you enjoy something, then enjoy it.
Like, yeah.
And we're going to talk mm-hmm. about this when we talk about our favorite live action anime mm-hmm. adaptations. But like, you know, me with like the Transformer films, they're not great. I still like them because I love Transformers. And these mm-hmm. are the only films I have. The new ones mm-hmm. are much better. But like when Michael Bay's films came out, this is all I had. So I'm like, yeah, yep, I can watch Optimus Prime transform nonstop and I'll be happy.
Yeah. You dig?
But I'm not going to be upset of anybody who's like, this is a trash film. I'm like, all right. It's not good. Yeah. I know it's not good. I still enjoy. And you should be allowed to do such things. Yeah. You should be allowed to disagree and enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. And that's why these movies are made. Not everyone's going to see eye to eye. It's just an opinion, which is why, even with my opinion of One Piece, which is positive, I keep saying, I feel like you should read a bunch of other reviews. Because there's people that point at different things. I've actually had colleagues who... we're talking about different things that I didn't pick up on or I didn't really, it didn't weigh as much for me as it did to them. And they have a really valid, interesting argument that you could actually pull through. And I like that. I like that it's different from mine. You kind of get this, you know, consensus of where things are going, even if you don't agree with where they went. And it's like, this is dope. This is how people should really look at things sometimes. Break it down, really move stuff around. And I'm a nerd out, but that's what I'm talking about. Instead, we get this very rigid, it's good, it's bad, or not even good or bad, it's terrible or it's great. You gave it a 6, which is an okay. You gave it a 7, which means a good. But to you, that means horrible.
Right, that means
and
horrible.
I'm like, the world doesn't work. There's a sea of gray that you're missing. Like, you know what I mean? Dog. But like, moving on, because I could talk about this all day. Our favorite live action anime adaptations. And I was thinking about mine. Mm-hmm. And I realized a bunch of mine do not count because they're not what I thought they were. So, for instance, Aria, the Zerum Bounty Hunter, is a anime that I really, really like. It's an OVA. And I didn't realize at the time that it was a prequel to the Zerum films. I thought the anime came first, then came the live action. Mm-hmm. And they're actually really good. Turns out it's the opposite way. They made the films and then they made the anime after the fact. So I'm like, okay, that one doesn't count. And then I thought of Erased, that's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't count because it's actually based on the manga, not the anime. The anime, they're actually separate. The anime came out at a different point. And so it's just based on the manga. So I'm like, crap, that doesn't count. So then the last one I could think of, and there's some decent ones here and there. I'm probably forgetting a bunch because
I'm forgetting them.
I'm pretty sure... Of all the anime that we've known, there's probably some good adaptations that I just cannot remember.
Yeah.
All the way from like Vampire Hunter D to Ninja Scroll and all that. I'm pretty sure there's something out there. But the one that I came across that was more recent was Speed Racer. And I know people don't like it outside of like, you know, whitewashing certain characters and stuff like that. However, if you just think of the spirit of Speed Racer, it's freaking perfect.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's perfect. And it's also one of the things where I think that we kind of miss when we look at the adaptations because a lot of people want the exact same thing, but not in anime form. And I'm like, if you want that, just go watch the anime.
Yeah, just
like I've evolved to the point where I'm like, I don't want a carbon copy. It's boring.
Yeah.
I'd rather go watch the anime. Because that's what like manga, anime, they kind of go together in a sense of I want to see what's happening in the manga and anime in anime form. And then anything else after that, be your own thing.
Yeah.
Speed Racer is definitely its own thing, but the spirit behind it works so freaking well. It's over the top. It's silly. It's Hot Wheels on acid. It's great.
Thank you for saying the acid part.
Right. Like it's really, and even outside of it being Speed Racer, it's a good movie just because of it's a good movie, even outside of being a Speed Racer. It's supposed to be goofy. It's supposed to be silly.
Yep.
And it's cool if you don't like those aspects. But
yeah,
they succeeded in what they were trying to do, I think. And that says a lot because a lot of films don't succeed in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I had to pick one right now without trying to remember, I don't think Armitage the Third had a live action. I know Ghost in the Shell did had two, but those are bad.
Yeah.
Freak.
Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, I think Speed Racer right now is the only one I could think of that counts.
Yeah, that's one of my faves. I in fact, Speed Racer is so good for me that it's almost like I forget that it was anime. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I didn't watch a lot of Speed Racer, really, really didn't. But I knew as soon as Speed Racer was announced, I was like, oh, this anime. You know, I did work in an anime store, y'all. Like, I know everything that was ever on the wall. but I'm like, it's so good that sometimes I forget that it had a different medium before, you know, like it was.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite movies. Y'all already know because you know how I feel about Rain. Call me. I have been trying to get with you for over 20 years. Like, this is just
I'm pretty
sad.
Sure he's married.
Did he get married finally to what's her face? Because
I believe
they were like rumored to be a couple for forever. And then they was like, I'm not with him. What are you guys talking about? Anyway, it's fine. Like, I get it. You couldn't wait for me. You couldn't wait for me to get famous and stuff. And like, I know I just took too long and I get it. Next
slide. I'm pretty sure he is.
Whatever. Google it. I'll find out. So I love that movie. It was great. It was just too awesome. It was just too much fun. It was too, I watched that in the theater by myself. We've talked about this before, but
same.
I was in New York and I was coming home. I went to New York to visit my sister and I was coming home. And I think I missed the first bus. I got to, you know, she lived in Brooklyn and I got down to Manhattan too late. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do for the next like 4 hours? And I went and saw Speed Racer by myself with my big old suitcase, almost missed the second bus. And I had so much fun by myself in the theater downtown. No one was in there. I was alone. Best seat in the house and just amazing. So much fun. The best time by myself.
Yes.
But one of my favorite adaptations ever is Honey and Clover. It's one of my favorite animes.
Yeah.
It is such a cute anime and it's so sweet and it has this, you know, like somberness to it that I really love, that slice of life type of anime that, you know, has a realistic element, especially when it talks about certain characters. Like there's certain characters that never get over animated that, you know, they don't jump out of windows with grappling hooks like Morita, but, you know, other characters that actually do very serious things. And I love that.
Right.
I love that juxtaposition. I think it's very, very well done in certain stories. And it's it has such a heartwarming and sobering and sombering effect to it. And then the live action took all of those crazy elements, toned them down, and made them exactly how it would be in real life. Like when we know somebody who's weird, okay, first of all, I've been the weird person my whole life. And a lot of people would be like, yeah, she's a little weird. But I know people who are weirder than me. And like, I'm not going to say I am anymore, especially post brain injury, but like I used to be really animated. Like really, really animated. Maybe I should just say post medication. No, anyway, no, like I just used to be off the walls and just so animated. And like, I remember one of my best friends was introducing me to one of her artist friends. They're all artists. And then she was like, I told you how animated she was, right? And he was like, she's straight out of a cartoon. Like that's what he said when he met me. All people act a certain way, right?
Right.
We are in real life. You know, we are not in a television show, even though sometimes I do think we are in a simulation. Looking at you, Matrix.
Potentially.
But we all behave in a specific way. Anime characters behave very, very much in like a caricature. They are more animated than we are. That is what they are supposed to do. They don't even speak the same language. They say things that you wouldn't say in real life. They use language that we wouldn't use in real life, proving that they are in another world. They are in an animated universe. But Honey and Clover, the movie, managed to do something that everybody was sitting on their toes waiting for. So there is a part in the show, Honey and Clover, No one has ever been able to get into Morita's room. Okay. All right, season, me, like, you remember, no one has ever been in there. We're in season two now. No one has ever been inside Morita's room. Okay. And he's locked himself out of his room multiple times. He's had to sleep in his friend's room. Like this, nobody understands anything that this guy does. He wears the same shirt and pants every day. He wears flip-flops to school. He's always late to class. This man has been in school for 8 years and hasn't graduated. Like, they're going to kick him out. He is so crazy. He is such a weird character. And then they have, first of all, love that dude. The guy from Sukiyaki Western Django is playing Morita. Okay. So, like, how do you go from playing Morita to then some like evil cowboy swordsman in a Tarantino film? Like, that's good range. Acting. He is good. He is very, very good. But here he is playing Morita, and here we are all building up to the moment, that everybody finally learns what's really going on in Morita's life. They can't get into his room. The man has disappeared. His brother is looking for him. And everybody's like, where is Morita? And then he's like, let me into the room. You know, in the anime, they get into his room. And what is it? Like, CIA computers everywhere. It's insane. Right. They're like, how is he even powering this? How is there electricity to this room? And this place hasn't like burned down to the ground.
Yeah.
And then in the live action, they're like, we got to get into the room. And they open the room and it's empty. There's nothing there. Yeah. There's no futon. There's nothing. There is no remnant of a human being living there. That, watching the movie, was just such a like takedown. It was a, oh my God. And you feel two things. You're like laughing because they didn't put this crazy over the top freaking CIA shit in there, which would have just completely made it a one-to-one, and it wouldn't have been funny because we had already seen it in the anime. But what it did was, it was like, oh, this character is actually really sad. Because his character was sad. This is a kid who lost his parents early in life, and he only had his brother, and their whole life got destroyed because their uncle sold their company out from under them, and they ended up having to leave their loving home where they grew up to nowhere, and they lost everything. And then their dad died, and it was just the two of them, and he was raised by his brother. It's sad.
Right.
And his brother holds that over him and like, do you want to make money? Do you want to make money so that we can get our company back? His brother is chasing these people and trying to destroy them. The people who destroyed him.
Right.
He's getting revenge, and it's killing him. It's tearing him apart. And Morita, this character, entire show for 30 some odd episodes, is a terrorist to his friends, but also a loving person. No one knows what he's really going through. No one knows how torn up inside he is. And he's watching the only other human being that he loves. Like, I mean, there's other people, but you get what I'm saying. His only family, he's watching him deteriorate, but he's supporting him at the same way because he's a little brother. I just thought that that was so strong. And it was so like heartfelt. Like, I'm like, okay, you guys did this right. And there was another part in the movie that, you know, people are like, oh, I wish they could have had that one character. But instead of having that character that they had included from a side like story, they made Takemoto be that character. They made Takemoto, you know, wear the suit. And I was like, that was a good choice. It was a good choice because you didn't have enough time to introduce this other kid. I mean, the movie's what, hour and a half, 2 hours? I don't know.
Right. You know? It's you have to make some changes. Not just because of time, because anime is stretched. It just is what it is. That's why we have the whole idea of filler. Like, that's not a term that we usually use for television.
Right.
That is something that's out of anime because they fill in so that it can be pushed away from the manga. They don't want it to catch up.
Yeah.
And so they add those things in, right? And so in order to make that work in a film, especially a film, not even a show, you have to make some changes. So what changes would you make? How would you make this work? And then also you have to think, I'm not just making this for fans. Like, this idea that the world revolves around fandom is really weird because none of you would be, there's not enough of you to make this last. If every fan of One Piece goes and watch the show, or every fan of that film goes and watch, it's like, it's not enough. they need other people because they're spending millions of of dollars to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah.
Same thing with Marvel, DC, whatever the case may be. Hey, Spider-Man cannot just be for the Spider-Man fans. It has to be for people who are like, hey, what's that? That looks freaking cool. I'm going to go check it out. Fun. It has to be for that. And so for the people who, and then also there's this rule, this unwritten rule that this has to be able to work without knowing the context behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I never watch Lord of the Rings, perfect example. If you never read those books, those films still work.
The first, the three, y'all.
Right, the first three. The first three. The original trilogy works. So if you've never read any of those,
mm-hmm.
they still work. Yep. You feel me? And you can't do that by trying to stuff in as much as possible without thinking about your limitations, whether it be the medium. Like you just cannot. You can't make something, if you don't have the technology to make something larger than life like it is in the animated version, then don't do it. We're just not going to do it. Do something that represents that in a way, you know, a spiritual successor type stuff. But don't try to emulate that because it's just not going to work. People are going to see, they're going to see bad CGI. They're going to see really rough placement, poor set design. They're going to see all these things that just stick out because you're trying to focus on that thing.
Yeah.
So make it work in your world. And guess what? Even if people don't like it, people don't like it or whatever, it's still going to be a good thing that stands on its own. And that's what it has to be. Mm-hmm. It has to be good enough to stand on its own. If it has to lean on the manga or anime or book or whatever the case may be, short story, it will not work. And as notorious for everything forever, every adaptation, no matter what it is, has to make some type of change to fit the new medium.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
It is.
And usually, as long as the changes are good, most folks don't care.
Yeah.
Like it's whatever. Like, it's a good movie. Like, if I think about Iron Man 3, there's things that I didn't like about that film. A ton of things, actually.
Yeah, a ton of things.
But as far as,
we didn't like it.
but as far as, just, a movie, like, if I'm not thinking about, Iron Man and, the you know, history that I have with this character, I'm like, no, this is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can't say that for things that are trying to be everything to everybody. You can't do that. Just make a good film. Whatever it is, just make it good. Yeah.
Those are my rules. Just make it good. Those are my rules with everything. And that is why I am so hard on things like Rings of Power.
Yeah,
I hated The Hobbit. I have said I have hated The Hobbits before, and I will continue to say it. Like, I'm like, you made three movies called The Hobbit, and it was barely about Bilbo at all. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Harry Potter films, and not to dwell on that, but you look at them and how they cut out a ton of stuff from the books, but they work as a collective of itself, a body of work by itself. It works. It works.
Yeah.
It works enough to have the fandom that it has.
Yeah, except movie six needed to be thrown in the trash. That was a terrible movie. And I'm like, but how y'all gonna do the Half Blood Prince like that? How you gonna do Snape like that? How you gonna do that? Is the best book.
Well, see, is that fandom though? Is
no.
is the movie good?
No, the movie was bad. The movie? Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. No, this is good. This is good. So I'm going to tell you something. If I haven't said this before, I really feel like I have, but I probably haven't. I tried reading Harry Potter years ago. I tried so hard. God, those first two books are bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They are not good. I'm like, oh my God. It's like the first 5-6 chapters of book one made me want to burn the book. I was like, I can't read this. This is awful. I tried so hard and could not get through them. I just said, I'm just going to keep watching movies. I really, really cannot read these books. And then movie six came out. I hated this movie. So I was like, what is happening? This is a bad movie. This is not good. Nothing is good. I mean, there was a couple good. There were things that oh my God, it was well acted,
but
there was so many, there was no real trajectory for what's his face? Draco's arc. Understand, we all understand what was supposed to be happening with Draco, but I don't feel like the movie did it right. I'm like, you're not doing this right. You're showing a boy having panic attacks, but you legitimately an hour and a half ago in another movie, he was a terrorist. He didn't right. have any inkling that he was going suffering through anything. And then all of a sudden he's like,
huh, huh, huh. You See, guys and have might to, be example. That might be an example of what I was talking about. Like, it's there's no, it doesn't flow well into one another because you want to put in from the book. This it's almost like they started making it and it's like, crap, this is going to be a big scene that people want.
You know,
we gotta put this in, even if it contradicts a bunch of stuff that happened before.
I was just like, this movie is so bad and I hated it so much. And I went and saw it immediately. Like, I went and saw this movie as soon as it came out, because that's what me and my friends used to do. We would go and watch movies at midnight and then go to work the next day. And we did this because they were coming out Wednesday nights and we would go.
Yeah.
Anyway, so still don't know. I miss that life. I miss being under 29. Anyway, so my coworker, his name was James. My coworker and I would talk about these things. And then he comes into my office, which was a copy room at that time. And he's like, open the door. And he's like, did you see that? Yes, I saw. And then we're just going like this. And we're like, and then we hate this movie. We hate this movie. And then you know what he said to me? He said, I legitimately had to go and pick up the book and read it again just to escape my mind. He said, I had to go and watch the movies. Movies 1 through 5 to get this out of my mind. I'm like, damn, you did that all last night? No, obviously it must have been the weekend. I don't think it happened like that day. I think the weekend had passed. It had to have been a Monday. And then I said, I'm not joking. I watched that movie and I went and read every book. Yeah. I got every book. Mind you, the first book was given to me by the first book was given to me by a friend like 10 years prior. I had already had it and I could not read it. I got every book and I started reading them. I bought them as I would finish them. And then I bought them on Amazon and I got like books that weren't real because all the Harry Potter books are embossed. And then I started getting like photocopied and I was like, wait a minute. I think these books were like legit, like printed in China. Like, I think I got like scam books. Also because I think there were like pages that were wrong and like missing. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, wow.
So then I had to read. I didn't have money anymore. And after book three, I didn't have any more money. So then I just read them online because you can like get them. There's like websites that had like the books printed and like, oh my God, I did a lot of So
allegedly,
that never happened. Alleged. So we're going to cut that part out. So I read all of the books, all of them. And then my friend let me borrow 6 and 7 and I still have them to this day. I still have them. Dawn, I legitimately still have your books, Dawn. I have them. They are here. And you have the dust jackets because she took the jackets. It's like when I let people borrow my books, I take the jackets because I don't want them to damage them. I have the books. She has the jackets. And I read all of those books and I got to book 6. Mind you, book 3 is awesome too. Book 3 and 6 are my favorite. Movie 3 is my favorite movie. But I read book 6. I said, this book is amazing. So my point in saying this is that I watched the movie before the book, which in all honesty, people, is the best way you should do things. If you haven't read something, just watch the stuff first. Because if you read it first, you're going to ruin the movie for yourself. You're going to like, I feel like that's always the way it is. I like watch it first and then be like, oh, this is fun. And then read it and be like, oh my God, they got everything wrong. This is better. But I watched the movie. It was trash. And then I read the books and I was like, I read book 6 and I said, how the hell did you guys do this?
Yeah.
This is not a good movie.
That's similar to how I felt about, even though I did watch the anime prior with The Last Airbender movie. Like, I don't care if you've never heard of Airbenders, Firebenders. If you've never watched any of that Nickelodeon show, that movie is bad.
Objectively. Like,
fundamentally terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I got to the point, and mind you, I've liked his movies since then, but I was like, I would not let him direct a family reunion. Like, you don't get to have the camera.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I was just so like, what? Mm-hmm. What? It was almost as bad as The Happening. It was almost as bad as The Happening.
Which I didn't watch.
Like, in terms of, like, costumes, the fact that the characters couldn't say Aang's name properly. Like, they said it 4 different ways in that movie.
Yeah.
Just so many. So like, even if you, if you never watch, and I'm saying, this is why I talk about fandoms. If you've never watched whatever the thing is adapting,
mm-hmm.
and just watch it for itself,
mm-hmm.
and it's still bad, that is a problem.
That's a problem. And that's when we talk about objectively bad. If we can't agree that something is objectively good, we should be able to say something objectively bad. Like, some people will be like, you know what? Apples or spaghetti, objectively good or bad. But everybody should say poop is objectively bad. Like, nobody wants to eat poop.
I mean,
they're deviants.
Yeah.
So objectively, we should agree that things are bad. That is something we should, because you know what, they'd be like, I don't know what I should do, but we all know what you should not do. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yep.
So
that's true. I'm sure someone liked it somewhere, you know,
like three people,
just like people who like, you know, just interesting films. there's something out there for everybody. I was gonna say some films, but I don't want to offend anyone. But
there's something
out there for anybody. You know, like I'll throw myself out there. Like, I want to see the new Expendables movie. I want to see the new Fast and Furious. I don't think these are gonna be good movies, but I think they're gonna be fun.
No.
I think they're gonna be good popcorn. That was wicked. What you just, that thing with him blowing up and flying all over the place.
Yeah.
It's just going to be fun. And then I also want to see, I didn't get to see the new Mission Impossible yet. And I think that's going to be an actually good action film. But so the Expendables and Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible is going to be much better, but I'm still going to enjoy myself. It's just going to be a bunch of fun. And so I get it. But at the same time, I'm not going in anybody's DMs. I'm not burning your house down if you don't like the movie. It's quite all right. I will have a good time by myself watching this dope film. It's just, it is what it is. You know?
I didn't DM anybody on Rings of Power or Wheel of Time and tell them that they were trash, okay? And I wanted to, but we just got on here. And I have said very vile. I'm just saying they're vile because I did say that the people in charge of Cowboy Bebop, I did actually say violent things should happen to them. And I mean, I kind of still agree. I still think that they should be slapped.
Terrible.
But I'm not saying that they need to be like, I'm not crucifying anyone. I'm just saying just slapped. It's like a wake up slap. You know what I mean? Like, did you, like, honestly, when your mom, like, you never see it when your mom's coming at you with a chancla. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's happening. And it's just like, did you think this is not to hurt you? This is to wake you up. Like, because that was bad. It was bad. Spike, Spiga. Like, what? It's all bad. Everything. What was she singing in that one episode? Who is that? Who?
I don't. And again, it makes me angry when they keep saying you scored Cowboy Bebop a 7. I'm like, I wouldn't have given it a 7.
No, we talked about that. That show gets a 0 for me and a 3 for you.
Yeah, I'm like, no. I did not like that. Moving on to our last topic, we wanted to talk about a couple of things going on in Strike Land. Only this time is not based on film and television, but the video game industry. Mm. I'm pulling up the article from GameDeveloper.com. Shout out to Chris Kerr, who wrote this article, talking about SAG and AFTRA. I believe that's the acronym. Mm-hmm. It's a union that represents a number of voice actors
Guild.
And performers, in the gaming industry. And they're looking to call for a strike. And so they sent it out. They want to, you know, get their union to vote on it. And they have until September 25th to decide whether or not to strike. And the reason that they want to strike, one of the reasons is because they want to get paid properly. They want to have a retroactive wage increase for performers that will see them earn a lot of money. If you think about it, an example of this is, I remember one of the guys who worked on the latest GTA. And was talking about how much money that game has made over the years, and how they didn't really get much of that at all. Like, they got paid well, you know, I guess up front, but then the fact that it kept making more and more and more money, it's like, oh wow, this is like a billion dollar thing that I was a part of that I'm kind of not seeing any type of anything from, you know what I'm saying? But that's not even like, that's just like a small portion of it. They're also the idea that they don't get paid as well as their television counterparts.
Yeah.
There's the idea that they are, you know, limited in terms of the how much time they work. So like performers are able to get like a five minute per hour rest period off camera and stuff like that, whereas they don't really get that. There's a lot of stuff that goes into the video game industry that is similar to live action that people aren't really aware of. And so at the same time, but because it's video games and because of how publishers have treated a lot of people across the board, they don't get some of the same things that they would have gotten if they would have been in television or film. And so that's one of the things that they're talking about in terms of being paid fairly for their work, as well as renewing their contracts, because their contracts with the union, the way it works is like you get a contract and it lasts for however many years before you have to renew. Mm-hmm. And there's things that are coming up in these contracts that they're kind of concerned about. One of them, which is everyone is concerned, especially extras and people, you know, that are have smaller roles, is the issue of AI. I'm pulling up the article, and this part, it says, on the issue of AI specifically, SAG wants to update its contract with protective language that will require informed consent and appropriate payment for the creation and use of digital replicas and for training AI systems with members' performances. Without these protections in place, the union claims AI poses an enormous threat to performance capture artists. So if you don't know what that means, what they're talking about here is that you can potentially go in for a gig. They can pay you a small amount of money, you know, use AI to capture your face, capture your likeness, and then they own that as an IP, and then they'll be able to use it as much as they want. In any game, DLC, whatever the case may be, they'll just be able to use you. And then because they have that, they don't need to pay you.
Yeah.
So you think about that. That's, you know, you'd be able to, you would be losing your job. You'd be losing your job. You'd be losing money. And then not only that, but they own your likeness forever. And you think about it. If it's a publisher, it's not just going to be one game. If you're a mercenary in, you know, Assassin's Creed, and it's a Ubisoft game, and eventually you pop up in, you know, their Watch Dogs game as another character. Oh, look at this assassin. It's like, oh, wait, that's me again. Mm-hmm. But it's a totally different game. I didn't get paid for this.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? And so they want the same things that, you know, some of the well, not some of the, but majority of the writers and actors want in the film industry and in the television industry. They want the same thing. They want to be treated fairly. They want to have job security, which is, you, when you think about it, these things aren't like big asks, honestly. It's not like they're like, we want millions of dollars. Like, job security is very low. I mean, not low in terms of importance, but low in terms of how much it would take to give someone job security. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like we were talking about before with the animators wanting to strike because they wanted something like healthcare, which is, for all the people, let me talk to you for a second. For all the people who are like, y'all need to get like a real job, the fact that you scoff at them asking for something like healthcare is like blowing my mind, because that's what you get on your job, isn't it? You get healthcare. If you're a full-time employee, you get healthcare. They are full-time. They work more than you do, actually.
Yeah.
Like they're overworked. They don't get paid overtime. They don't have health care. Like it's astonishing that I'm hearing that the CEOs and whatnot of these companies are trying to move money around to give themselves bonuses so they can kind of hold out while all the artists and actors and whatnot starve, and hopefully starve them out so then they'll have leverage in the coming contract negotiations, is bananas, because what they're asking for isn't even, it's barely a percentage of what you make.
Yeah.
If you've made $1 billion, you can pay these people.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And a lot of you have made $1 billion. Like, a lot of these companies have made, Activision alone has made a goofy amount of money.
Yeah.
You're telling me that you can't pay these people properly so they can actually, and they will give better performances. They'll want to come back for another role. Yep. They'll want to do all sorts of stuff because you pay them like they're, you treat them human, like humans, not robots, not AI replicas.
Thanks. Like, which is why they want the AI. Ass. they want the AI so that they don't have to do any of those things. They're like, hey, well, we don't have to pay these robots until the robots rise up against you, because we all watched those movies. I just think it's interesting that the same, this that's happening right now, you know, as of September 1st, they are asking to, you know, have this vote. When the season of Black Mirror dropped some months back, and that first episode, that episode of Joan is Awful is about this. It's very, very interesting that, you know, I don't know how long it took them to write up that script and film it, and for it to, you know, I mean, I'm obviously this is, I wouldn't say that that's the first iteration of something like this, but it's putting that issue on the screen in a very palatable way, what we're discussing right now, and having people understand what it means. The simple fact that this living person has their likeness that was sold to the filmmakers because they signed up for the streaming platform using their phone. I mean, that's the, what do you call that? That's the eerie horror part, you know, the trippy part that Black Mirror does. But the realistic part is what they are talking about here. It's, you have my face because I did one job with you. And because I didn't make sure that you couldn't use my face again, which in a normal way, in a non-greedy way, you would never do that.
Exactly.
In the old day, in a normal way, it'd be like, hey, by the way, I sang the background on this track, and every time my voice gets heard on this side, every time this song plays, anytime somebody samples my voice on the hook, I get money. Versus, oh, by the way, that hook that you sang, we're going to have a robot recreate it so it's not you. And then we're going to put it in these songs, and you didn't actually own the rights to that song anyway, so I'm going to do it, and you'll never get paid again, because now everybody will sample my robot.
And it's interesting to be how like, typically when people try to be greedy and try to get over on people, they try to do it in a sneaky way. Mm-hmm. This is like just open.
So open.
Because when you look at AI, it's like, the fact that you can copy and because it's not real AI. It's just, it's taking things. That's all it is doing, is taking things. And the idea that like, oh, we can pay people less. Like, this isn't like a guess. Like, no one's guessing at what you might do. It's already happening. You know, it's already, and not just like, you know, we're talking about film, television, video games. It's also happening on the journalistic side. You know, there's a whole company right now that's kind of going through it because they want to automate certain articles.
Yes.
And these articles are coming up with a bunch of errors because they're pulling from all over the place. Yeah. It's not real AI. And so then they're like, oh, we got to hire someone to come and edit this stuff because it's a mess. And it's like, why don't you just get the person to write the whole freaking article?
Hire a journalist. They do research and they write.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny because what's happening is it's costing them more money.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of money that they were asking for to get paid and to do this, it's actually costing like 4 or 5 times more than that because of the strike.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get they're thinking about the long haul. Like, if we get them to sign these bogus contracts, then we got them. But if people are just like, you know what? All you need is really like one company for the most part, like just one major company to be like, we'll give you whatever you want. Just come work for us.
Yeah.
They win.
That's it. They'll have the happiest people.
Right.
Happiest people.
No AI. We're going to pay you well. You're going to get health insurance. We're going to keep, you know what I'm saying? We're going to do all the stuff that we're asking for within reason because we got to stay afloat, which honestly is not a problem because you make stupid amount of money.
Stupid
and
money.
They would win. Yeah. They would win.
Yeah. They would.
But it's like the greed is so up there. Mind you, you're already winning to the point of ridiculousness. Like, you might buy 4 yachts this year as opposed to 10.
And that's why them dolphins are out here doing the Lord's work. Go dolphins.
Oh my gosh.
They're organizing and they're taking down yachts.
On that note, we're going to call it for tonight. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us. Hopefully you understood what we were trying to say.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, it's all good. I'm not really stressing it too much. Make sure to subscribe and follow. If you're listening on, you know, YouTube, hit that subscribe and that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're listening to us on, you know, iTunes, or it's actually, I guess, Apple Podcasts now. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all those different places. Add us to your RSS feed. Because we're going to keep potting. It's fun. It's good.
It's fun.
It's good. We're having a great time.
It's fun.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We also have some guests coming up. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, we had some guests lined up potentially, but the strike kind of threw a monkey wrench into all that. And so we kind of have to see how to maneuver around that. But that being said, when it does happen, you want to know when it happens. You want to be here. Yeah. You want to listen, because we have a good guest. Like, the guests that we have on are really great.
Yeah.
And we talk about a lot of cool, interesting things, whether it be gaming, television, film, whatever the case may be. I'll save that for next time.
Okay.
Because that's a whole nother conversation.
It is.
Mainly because there was some voice actors that, you know, we're thinking about talking, and I don't know how that goes in terms of, it depends on the union that they're a part of, like what they can and can't say, and the type of interviews they can do, and and how that works. So I wasn't really sure or whatever, but that's another conversation.
Yeah.
Regardless, we want you here so you can hear if you did the content. Again, awesome stuff.
That's it, everybody. Be nice, be kind.
Yes.
You know, don't be a dick. I don't know how many times I have to say that, because I know some people who've been some real dicks. And but be kind. Wash your faces, wash your hands and your butts. Wash your masks, and please wear them. Because
COVID's coming back strong.
Yeah, for real. And some people close to me got COVID, and I'm like, So.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, please, because I can't be having my elderly family members getting COVID. So wear your masks, everybody, please. And just, you know, social distance, and don't think that COVID's over, because it's not. That's all I've got for you guys.
Facts.
Thanks for hanging out. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.